Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is your host, Maruf Yusuf, and I have some exciting news to share with you today. Over the last 3 years, I have interviewed many entrepreneurs on this podcast, Muslims who love what they do and make a good living, and shared their stories. Many of you asked me the same question over and over. How can you also be like these successful guests? But what you may not know is that I also talked one-on-one with thousands of Muslim entrepreneurs, professionals, and seekers from all walks of life in the last 10 years. Their question was the same. How do we live our lives as Muslims with meaning and impact? Through these conversations, I have noticed patterns in what successful Muslims do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do what they do. I have taken all of these insights along with my learnings from hundreds of books and put them into a book called 7 Steps to Success in Deen and Dunya. This book is based on the Quran and Sunnah and proven business principles. It is for those Muslims who do not limit Islam only to masjids or prayers, daily salah, but see the Islam as a way of life. The book introduces a new way to live for you as a Muslim, inshallah. With a whole year to read and implement these steps, you have nothing to lose, but a lot to gain. And if for any reason you're not happy, you can get a full refund. So take action today and get the book on Amazon as a Kindle, paperback, hardcover, or audiobook on Audible, or you can also get it via the link in the show description. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Get your copy of 7 Steps to Success in Deen and Dunya. Embark on a journey of a lifetime towards a more meaningful, impactful life as a Muslim, inshallah. Now, back to the show. Hey, assalamu alaikum. This is Maruf, your host, Muslims on Fire. Today, I have brother Mustafa. He's almost my neighbor from Mississauga, around Toronto area, Canada. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, brother Mustafa. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to having you. Although we never met in person, but I heard about you, about your project, the Clear Quran. Why don't we start with a little intro about yourself, then we dive into the episode.
Yes, my name is Mustafa Khattab. I'm a member of the Canadian Council of Imams. I'm a translator. I'm a teacher, a lecturer, a youth counselor, a fundraiser, a public speaker. I don't know. You can just call me Mustafa.
Okay. You do a lot of things, mashallah. So, brother Mustafa, you know, the way we start the interview, I don't know, I'm sure you have been to many podcasts, but so one of the things about our podcast is, I guess, we try to start things from the way back, from the childhood, and try to understand, you know, the human story. Let's put it this way, right? Your journey, life journey, what it took you, and why, how you become today, what you do today, inshallah. So having said that, let's start with Bismillah. And can you tell us like a bit about your childhood? What kind of memories you remember, like where you grew up, you know, briefly on that?
Yes, I grew up in a small village in Egypt, which is about 2.5 hours away from Cairo. It was a small village, and most people in the village didn't go to school, basically because we didn't have a school in the village. Okay. Most people were farmers, like my parents. They didn't go to school. They didn't know how to read or write. So I didn't have, you know, the potential to go to school. But because of my mother, she put up a big fight for me to go to school. So I had to walk 1 hour to school in the next village, a neighboring village, and 1 hour the other way. So it was not easy because my dad was always telling me to quit school and just work.
Yeah, farmer, do the real thing.
Yeah, we have land by the Nile River, a branch of the Nile River. So he said, stick around and just work with us just like everybody else. If you go to school, you can't do much with the degree.
What do you do with the knowledge anyway, right? Do the real thing, do the physical thing. But so, okay, so here's the thing. How many siblings do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
We are a total of 6. 2 girls and 4 boys.
Okay. So you mentioned that your mom really kind of insisted you want to go to school. Was it insistence on you or the other siblings as well?
Well, you know, she was always trying to convince my dad to let me go to school and to let me
stay you alone? In school. You alone?
Is it you? Yeah, alone? I ended up being the only kid in the house, you know, going to school. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the first educated person in the history of my family.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. What made you like mom? Did your mom see something in you or what happened there?
Well, the argument that my mother told me, that she told my father, we have about 12 people in the same house. We okay. had, you know, a farmhouse, a huge house, a big land in the back. And she said, it's a shame that we have 12 people living in the same house and none of us can read or write.
Wow.
So someone has
read
to
or write. Huh? None of us can read. Wow.
Yes. And, you know, she told me you will either become something or nothing. So you have to work hard.
I see. MashaAllah. So today, one of the reasons you are here today is because of your mom and her struggle.
Support, yes.
Study. MashaAllah. May Allah reward her.
Ameen.
So without her, this project would not have happened, huh?
Yes. It's the first translation of the Quran in English done in the history of Canada.
Wow. MashaAllah. You see, sometimes we do the small things, like as parents, and you never know how my
Alhamdulillah.
That's a good start. Okay. So then you begin to go to school. You said 1 hour away from your village. Tell us the story. Like, what did you study there and how did you progress with that?
Well, we didn't have school buses or lunch bags. So I used to walk one way and the other way. It's a long walk. Sometimes I would walk it alone. And subhanAllah, by the age of 12, I completed the memorization of the Quran.
Okay.
And I studied different Islamic sciences, Quran, Hadith, Tafsir, all these different branches of Islamic knowledge. Then I graduated high school in 1997. So I left the village and I moved to Cairo to study at Al-Azhar, which is the most prestigious institution of higher studies in the Muslim world. So I wanted to study Islam in English and translation. So we have what we call the Faculty of Languages and Translation. It's very unique. So I joined this faculty in 1997, 1998. But there was one terrible problem for me. My English was in the basement. Because in high school, in the village, we didn't have the best English teachers. So they taught us some level of English, but you know, it was very basic and the pronunciation was horrible. And I always give the examples of stomach instead of stomach, deliquous instead of delicious, ex-appearance instead of experience. Oh. So when I went to college, my friends who came from different cities, they were making fun of my English, my pronunciation. And I wanted to do something about it. I spoke with one of the top students in the class. His English was amazing. And I said, why don't we speak English like together like 10 minutes every day? And he said, no, your English is so bad. You're going to ruin.
Affect me.
Affect me. So I said, no, thank you. Wow. So that night in 1998, I prayed my Isha prayer, namaz, and I made dua to Allah. And I said, Ya Allah, you created the heavens and the earth. And it's not difficult for you to help me with my English. And I promise you, if you make English easy for me, I'm going to use it to teach people about Islam and about the Quran.
Dear listener, based on many requests from our listeners, we are launching a Muslims on Fire Academy. It's for those who want to do more than just listening. It's for those who not only want to be inspired, but to be one of the Muslims on fire as well. It's for those who want to discover their purpose in life, follow their dreams, and live in prosperity. If this is you, join us for a journey of a lifetime. The introduction course is free. Learn more at academy.muslimsonfire.com. Learn more at academy.muslimsonfire.com.
And alhamdulillah, over the next 3 years, I was reading Shakespeare, listening to the BBC, doing like language exchange sessions with some American Muslims in Cairo. And eventually, alhamdulillah, after 3 years, I graduated college, not only the top of my class, but the top of the entire English department. And soon after, I was appointed as a professor or a lecturer to teach Islam and English at Al-Azhar.
Alhamdulillah. So if you don't mind me asking, why focus on English?
Well, because as you know, it's probably the most widely spoken language in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right.
Yes. So this is why, you know, it will make Islam accessible to so many English speaking people. This is why I chose English. And plus, in high school, I got a very high grade, which qualified me to study Islam in English.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. So now you're at a stage, not only finished high school, but you can also, as you said, you become a professor at Al-Azhar. So what year is this? Like around 2000?
98? Yeah, 2002, I got my BA, mm-hmm. bachelor's degree in Islamic studies in English. Then I studied 2 years higher studies in English. Then I studied master's. I got my master's after 3 years. And I got my PhD after 5 years. So 2013, I got my PhD.
Wow. So these are all around the English language, English literacy? Or?
Yes, Islamic studies in English and translation.
Mashallah, mashallah. And this is all happening in Al-Azhar?
Yes, in Egypt, yes.
Okay. You are still in Al-Azhar 2013?
Yeah, I left Egypt 2007. I mm-hmm. moved to the U.S. to work as an imam and also to do research.
Okay.
Then I went back 2013. I got my degree. Then I moved back to Canada. And ever since, I've been living in Canada, Edmonton. But now, I'm staying in Mississauga for good. I like Mississauga for some reason.
Yeah, me too. Alhamdulillah. I like it.
So. We have some good restaurants here.
Okay, we'll go together once this thing settles down. Okay, so just tell me, I understand you went to US, you finished in 2013. This time you come back to Canada, not back to US. What happened there? Why Canada?
Well, the first time I went to the US, I went on an R visa as a scholar through Fulbright. Mm-hmm. And usually when your visa expires, of course, they tell you can't renew it. You have mm-hmm. to leave for 2 years.
Okay.
So I had the option of going back to Egypt for 2 years, then reapply for a visa or move to Canada. So Canada, the US, it's not much different except mm-hmm. for the weather. But generally, Canada is a good place to live as a Muslim, especially in the GTA and Mississauga.
That's right. So you've been living like here like 7 years now?
Yeah, I came to Canada in 2011. Okay. I stayed for 2 years. I went to Egypt 2013, defended my PhD, and I came back.
Okay, so around 9 years then?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a good place. You're happy so far?
Yeah,
the reason I'm asking is I'm just quite new. Just like here, since just before the lockdown, you know, right now we're doing this interview, 2020 lockdown period. I just came like on the last day, March 17th, and Canada locked the doors. And
yeah, I could have went to other places like the UK, Australia, New Zealand. But for some reason, I came to Canada. I liked Canada. The Canadian people are nice. So
absolutely.
I always say that Egypt is like my mother. Canada is like my wife. I chose my wife. So I chose Canada.
Okay. Yeah, I see. That's good. Tell us about this. Like now you're back in Canada. I want to understand how the idea about clear Quran came about. Can you tell us more about this?
While in college, I came across, you know, different translations in English, and I did tafsir of the Quran, the interpretation of the Quran in Arabic. So I'm an Arabic speaker myself, a native speaker of Arabic. I studied English. So alhamdulillah, I have a good mastery over English, and I'm familiar with some of the existing translations. So over the last century, over the last 100 years, about 130 English translations of the Quran have been produced.
So can you repeat that again? Over the last 100 years?
Over the last 100 years.
Okay.
About 130 translations of the Quran have been produced.
Wow, mashallah.
The first English translation in English by a Muslim was done in the first half of the 19th century, which means about 100 years ago.
Okay.
So before that, for 1,300 years, the Quran was never translated into English by any Muslim.
Wow.
Mostly those translations were done by missionaries, by Orientalists.
Wow.
And this is why we still have some mistranslations in the Quran, like holy war and infidels. And we don't have this in Arabic.
I see.
So even most of the Muslims who translated the Quran, many of them actually were not qualified to translate in the first place.
Okay.
Some of them, they didn't know Arabic. They didn't know English. They didn't study.
How did you translate it if they didn't know Arabic? I don't understand.
Maybe they felt there was a need, mm-hmm. and some did it for the pride. They wanted to serve Islam. They had, mm-hmm. I'm sure they had the best of intentions,
sure.
but many of them were not qualified. I'm not saying that We don't have any other good translations. There are some good translations. I always say that, like Abdul Halim from Oxford, Ahmed Zaki Hamad from Egypt. And I think these are two of the best English translations out there. Mm-hmm. But I felt there was a need to translate the Quran in English. And there are some requirements for a translation to be good. Number one, okay, the translator has to be qualified in the first place. They sure have to be a native speaker either of English or Arabic, and to have a good mastery over the other language. They have to study Islamic studies, translation, Arabic, Quranic sciences, and so on and so forth.
That's right.
So if someone is not qualified, their translation will be filled with mistakes and contradictions, and those translations will be used against Islam and Muslims. And number two, some Muslims, especially Arabs, who translate the Quran, they have this wrong perception that for you to translate the Quran and to make it look holy and sacred, it has to be very old English, archaic, complex, complicated, very difficult to understand. So they just
distances wanted, you from the
yeah
Quran.
They just wanted to copy the King James Bible style, and which makes it super difficult for people to understand the Quran. And even subhanAllah, this is not a joke. A few years back, I met a guy, a publisher from Singapore, I believe. So he was coming to Mississauga. We have a major event in Toronto happening around Christmas. It's called the RAS, Reviving.
Yes, 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 yes.
Attended by about 25,000 people. I'm not sure if they're going to do it this year because of the COVID-19 situation. So what happened? The guy showed me a sample of a translation of the Quran for kids that he was working on. And I looked at it. The style looks nice. The rainbows, the flowers, mashallah, the colors. But when I read the translation, it was none other than Yusuf Ali translation from 1934.
Oh,
super difficult. And I told him, do you expect kids who are 7, 8 years old to understand this stuff? You need something like this. And this is why I started working on the Clear Quran for Kids, mashallah, which is illustrated, tons of stories. And this is probably the first translation of the Quran for kids in the world that has been edited by kids age 7 to 12. Okay. So it's very easy to understand. So the kids, they don't need anybody to read for them. They can read and they can understand on their own.
So yeah, if you just, I mean, I was surprised when you said last 100 years, it has been more than 100 translations. Like I'm a, when it comes, I mean, you must be really knowledgeable about this, but I am, like, I guess is a regular Muslim, all I remember is Yusuf Ali's translation, right? Yes. Also, there's also Pichtal's translation.
Yes.
And so there are a couple of ones came recently, but for me personally, one of the issues have been always is that this, when I read English translation, there's been distance, right? Now there's, and just makes the whole, sometimes the editing and translation, a lot of commentary as well, you know, unnecessary commentary, and just makes it very difficult to read as well. So, I mean, I get your point. I understand. So what you're saying is those were the main issues, like you were kind of not happy, and then what happened? Did you want to decide to take on this journey?
I think what triggered it all, the reason why I started this translation was back in 2013, I was a guest imam in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And many cab drivers in Toronto are Muslim. But one particular day after Jummah, mashallah, I was dressed up like a prince, the turban and the, you know, the flowing dress, like a prince, mashallah. And I was going back to the hotel room, and you know, the cab driver that day was not Muslim. And out of the blue, he said, you know what, Muslims are good people, but Islam sucks. And I said, why? And he said, because your book, the Quran, calls me an animal. And I said, I'm Hafiz, I know the whole Quran by heart, and it doesn't say this anywhere.
Okay.
And he cited 855, which says that the worst of all dawab, I'm going to explain this word, are the kuffar, the disbelievers. And I said, but you don't understand, the word dawab does not mean an animal, it means a living being. And Allah explains it in chapter 24, verse 45. Allah says, he created every dabba or dawab from water. Some slither on their bellies, some walk on 2 feet, some walk on 4 feet. And it's a very general term. And I told him it talks specifically about the people of Mecca, the pagans of Arabia, who violated peace agreements with the Prophet, and they stabbed the believers in the back and all that stuff. It's not talking about you. It's talking about a specific group of people in a particular specific you know, a historical context. Yeah. And he said, no, this is what his translation said. So he probably read Yusuf Ali or Pixel or... So that night, I decided to start this project to translate the Quran. Alhamdulillah, I had a huge team of Muslims, men, women, old, young. And we have three non-Muslims who were helping, you know, choose the right words because, you know, we included them in the team. So we read the translation together. And, you know, the reason we had them is to tell us, you know, this is not understandable. This is difficult to understand. Explain this, put a footnote and this and that. Mm-hmm. Because this translation is for everybody, Muslims and non-Muslims. And alhamdulillah, two of those three non-Muslims accepted Islam at the end of the journey.
Wow, mashallah. So how long did it take the whole translation thing?
The initial translation took me 1 year. I was working day and night. Then after I finished, I worked with a huge team of about 100 people to go through the translation and revise it several times. We have people working here in Edmonton and in different countries, and they were helping us. They were giving us feedback. And what we did also, I put together a team and we met all the time to read the translation out loud. And because we wanted to work on the flow, you know, the rhymes and the to make it accessible and appealing. I'll just give you an example in Surah Rahman. And this is one of my favorite examples. If you go to chapter 55, verses, I would say 5 to 7, الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان. So you see the flow and the rhythm and the rhymes in Arabic, and I wanted to reflect this.
Okay.
So I did something like the sun and the moon travel with precision, the stars and the trees bow down in submission. As for the sky, he raised it high and set the balance of justice. So the meaning is perfect, but the flow is very good. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why I think the clear Quran stands out. So the four other reasons are accuracy. We made sure that the translation is accurate based on our understanding of the Arabic. Clear based on the way it reads in English. It's accessible, it's readable. And the flow is good. You'll see it's fluid. You'll see the flow. It's not hectic like many other translations with so many brackets and parenthetical information. Mm-hmm. And finally, the eloquence. We try to reflect the beauty and the power of the Arabic. It's powerful, yet accessible. And I think these are the four reasons why this is a decent translation. It's not a perfect translation. There is no translation that is perfect.
That's right.
The only perfect thing about the Quran is the Arabic text.
That's right.
My translation is just a human effort to explain the divine.
I understand.
So in alhamdulillah, English, we did our best, but it is not a perfect translation. It is just awesome. That's all.
Sounds good. So tell me, like, so when the translation was done, it's like, was it like 2015, 16? Was it done already?
Well, the translation I finished in 1 year, and I started to use the translation in my classes 2014 while we were revising it. So it was in use in 2014, late 2014, we printed the book, and 2015, we started the mass printing in the US and Canada.
Mm-hmm. How was the acceptance? Can you tell us, like, how many guys' copies have you printed out? Have you distributed so far?
I believe we started with about 5,000 back in late 2014, mm-hmm. because we wanted to get a feel of, you know, the community, and we got feedback and we made some, you know, improvements based on the feedback. So what I did while I was working on the translation, I would choose selected verses of the Quran and I would put them on a sheet along with other translations, like one verse translated by 4 or 5 different translations, including the clean Quran. Including the clean Quran. But I didn't say these translations were done by who. So I gave the sheets to 15, 20 people, and I would tell them, read the sheet and choose the best translation out of the 5 for the same verse. And I would say that more than 95% of, you know, the people, they chose the clear Quran because no old English, it's easy, straightforward, mashallah. Even high school students can understand, you know, this translation. It's very easy, very accessible, alhamdulillah. And over the last few years, alhamdulillah, Islamic schools in North America, in the US and Canada, they started to give and use the adult's version to students grade 5 and 6 and up. So at some point I realized I think I should do something for students grade 5 and below. And this is why I worked on the Clear Quran for Kids.
That's very interesting project. I think on the for kids, I think we have a startup. That's something we'd like to discuss, but I don't want to discuss this in the probably interview. It's going to be probably a longer discussion. One of the things we'd like to do is to introduce it to our visual and audio presentation as well, but that's something we can discuss later. Inshallah. But I, on the Clear Quran, I had a look. I haven't really read all of them, but I just had a clear look. I didn't like the translation. I would like to get, because I have my three kids as well, and I would like to get a hold of for kids as well, because I want to, because...
Childhood Questions are sponsored by Ali Huda. Ali Huda is a video on demand streaming platform for Muslim children where they can watch cartoons and shows while learning about Islam the fun way. If you are a Muslim parent, this will be one of your best investments. Visit www.alihuda.com for a 7-day free trial. Now back to the show.
My son reads from the English translation, but I want to give it to him to my younger daughters as well. Yes.
This is the one.
that's the one. I would like to see that. Because as you know, the kids, they have a different understanding. They did based on their age. The more approachable it is, this will be the best introduction, I guess. We had one of the things I did before I interview you, I just asked my network. I'm interviewing you, Dr. Mustafa Tab, and you guys have questions. So I got some questions. If you don't mind, we'll go through them. And then that's something we can. So the first question is, just a second. Did you see it as well? I think I also tagged you. So
yes.
Because my feed is like pretty long. Let me see.
Yeah, I think one question was about the Quran dictionary that I'm finalizing.
Okay.
It was from Sister Aisha from the U.S.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Basically, I lead Ramadan prayers, Taraweeh, every Ramadan, and many people complain because, as you know, the majority of Muslims, they don't speak Arabic. I would say 85% of Muslims are not Arab. So when they stand in Salah at night in Ramadan for 1 hour or 2 hours, and they listen to the recitation, but most of the time, they don't understand what the imam is reciting. And subhanAllah, they're frustrated when they hear their Arab brothers and sisters crying in prayer because they are touched by a certain verse. And these non-Arab brothers and sisters, they don't feel the verses and they're, you know, they feel disconnected in prayer. So this is why I started back in 2017 to work on this unique Quran dictionary. Inshallah, I'm finalizing it now. So we expect it out in a few months, inshallah. So basically the Quran has 2,000 entries. 2,000 entries. You can call them roots. So I listed all these roots, and it's probably the first picture illustrated Quran dictionary in the world. It's very easy. It's very logical. And I connected the different meanings under the same root. So I'll give you one example. So for example, what is the connection? Because you see the word Jannah, Janin, Majnoon, Jinn under the same root, Jannah or Janana. And when you read any English dictionary of the Quran, they tell you Jannah is paradise, Majnoon is insane, Janin is the baby inside the mother, and Jinn is, you know, these spirits that we can't see. So what is the connection between all of these words that come from the same root? They don't tell you. So in my dictionary, I tell you that all these roots, all these words that come, that are listed under the same root, they share the sense of being hidden. You can't see with your own eyes. So Jannah, paradise, is in a different world, we can see. And Janin, the baby inside the mother, you can't see from the outside. And Majnoon, someone who is mentally challenged, you cannot
see
their sanity from their actions. And Jinn, they are hidden in a different realm. We cannot see them. So this is the common meaning that all of them have. And I apply the same thing to all the other roots in the Quran, based, of course, on classical works like Al-Raghib al-Asfahani, you know, big books that were written like 1,000 years ago, and also
very
some personal reflections and so on and so forth. So I think it's going to make it super easy for you to understand everything in the Quran in, I would say, about 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. It depends on your pace.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah. I would like to go through that as well, because I'm inshallah. I know that, inshallah. So here's some of the questions. Like, you just holding this in the for kids. So this kids version, it's not the whole Quran, is it? Because I think Sister Aisha was asking, when is the Surah Al-Baqarah and other things will be
finished. Yes. Well. So the Prophet ﷺ, he explained, and this is based on authentic hadith like Sahih Muslim and others, that the Quran, the chapters of the Quran are classified into four sections.
Okay.
So you have At-Tawal, the long surahs, long chapters like Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, and so on and so forth. Al-Ma'in, that surahs that are about 100 verses, give or take, like Surah Kahf, for example. Then you have Al-Mathani, the surahs that are shorter in length. Let's say Surah Yasin, it is not long, it is not short. Then Al-Mufassal. Al-Mufassal, the surahs that are typically short.
And okay, just 30, just Amma?
Well, from Surah 45 and all the way to 114.
Oh, okay.
This is what the Prophet ﷺ called Al-Mufassal.
Okay.
And the scholars say they start from Surah Hujurat all the way to Surah 49 to 114. And this is what I included here.
Oh.
From 49 to 114 and Surah 1 of the Quran.
Fatiha, of course.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a total of 67 chapters inside this book illustrated. I used tons of stories to explain verses and chapters in the Quran, because this is how kids learn.
Absolutely.
They like stories. They like illustrations. I was a kid one day, and I know how kids learn. And alhamdulillah, over 50 students between the ages of 7 to 12 were involved in the making and the editing of this book. Another thing, quality that I'm going to highlight very quickly here, inshallah, the rational questions that our kids ask, students, the young ones. Because I deal with different schools in the GTA, in Toronto, in Mississauga, in Oakville, in different places. And students and kids generally, they're inquisitive. They ask questions. They like to learn. So they ask, for example, who created Allah? How do we know that Allah exists if we can't see him? Mm-hmm. If Allah says in the Quran, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمُ We create humans perfectly. How come my friend has a disability? And so on and so forth. They ask all these, you know, difficult questions.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the teachers and the parents, they have a hard time answering these questions. So alhamdulillah, throughout this book, I put so many different logical questions, and I answered them in a very rational way, maybe sometimes in the story form. So the kids will find it, you know, understandable, and they can relate to the answer. So they grow confident in their faith. Because if you tell them to be quiet, don't ask these questions in my house, you're not my kid anymore, they grow up thinking that Islam is weak. Islam does not have the answer. Islam has the answer. The Quran has the answer. The Prophet Muhammad has the answer in his hadith. If we don't know the answer, it doesn't mean that the answer doesn't exist.
We just have to, yeah, I see.
Yes.
Can you tell us, the listeners, I guess, while we're here, where they can find more about the Clear Quran, especially about the parents, if you want to find out about the kids' version as well?
Yeah, you can go to our website, theclearquran.org, theclearquran.org. And if you would like to buy your copies, you can also go to orderaquran.ca.
Okay.
But everything you can find on our website, theclearquran.org.
Sounds good. And you can also give us the links we also put in the show notes as well, inshallah.
Yes, so inshallah. And as you can see, if you open the adults version or the kids version, I broke down the chapters into themes. I put titles. I made it very easy to start and finish when you memorize or read. And I make it difficult for Islamophobes, for example, to take things out of context. Because I gave the historical context. I put the titles, you know, and inshallah, my next project, if Allah gives me life, inshallah, I'm going to work on another project that will be the transition from the kids edition to the adults version. So okay. I'm going to cover the entire Quran in that version. It's going to be easier, but it is not, I don't think it will have as many stories and illustrations. Yes, it will be illustrated some, you know, somewhat to a certain degree, and also will have some stories, but it will be the transition between the kids edition and the adults version.
Can I ask a question, like on the spot? You don't have to answer, you don't want, that's fine. Like, so one of the things, I work with different startups, especially in the Muslim community. One of the things we're also working is we are building a platform, Muslim Kids. as a streaming platform. You know Netflix, YouTube, where our kids these days, they play a lot of games, they watch a lot of videos. So we have created a platform called Ali Huda. So on that platform, we're trying to create entertainment videos to introduce the Islam the best way, especially from their young age, right? So one of the things we always keep looking for, more entertaining content. When I say that, not only education, but also it should be also entertaining, as you know that for the kids, it should be very interesting. Yes. So one of the things we would like to really explore with you, I guess, is that if you would be interested in, like, for example, getting this, what you said, translation, to do either animated series or maybe like a hybrid, like between you come explain and some things we should animate. So maybe should a combination. The idea is, as an author, we want to get this inspiration from you to the kids via the video, via the audio, so they can play on their apps as well. Because, you know, I mean, there are kids, they read books. Trust me, there are kids, they don't want to read books, but we still can get to them. We still can get to them with audio and video.
And this is what I said. I totally agree with you. This is what I said to some parents who questioned me when they saw the translation with all these amazing professional illustrations. And they were done by Noor Kids. Mashallah, they have a very professional team. And I told them, dudes, you ever wonder why your kids play video games, they watch Netflix and Disney Plus for hours and hours, 10, 15 hours a day. And if you ask them to read a Quran translation for 2 minutes, they keep whining and complaining. We have to be competitive. We have to produce something in a very creative way. We have to use, stories to explain funny stories and also illustrations. This is how our kids learn, you know? Absolutely. So we have to be ahead of the game. We have to be competitive if you want your kids to learn about Islam. So subhanAllah, this is why we have some amazing illustrations and fantastic stories throughout the book.
So the question is, you got your stories, everything is ready, it's in writing. Is it something you or your organization would be interested to bring to the kids via video and audio?
Yeah, of course, I'm interested. Inshallah, we can get together sometime and discuss it with our publisher, Al Furqan, in Chicago.
Sure.
And we can work something out, inshallah. Why not?
I think this will change the whole thing, as you said, for many, many kids, inshallah, generations to come, if you do it properly, you know?
Inshallah. And as you can see, the illustrations, we have an African guy on the cover, a white guy, Arab guy, and we have a Pakistani girl on the cover. And even the stories inside the book are reflective of the diversity of Islam. You will see stories about Malcolm X, about Muhammad Ali, about Allama Iqbal, stories from Turkey, stories from Egypt, stories from Canada, I don't know, from all over the world. And subhanAllah, these are amazing stories. And I selected them from many other stories because I give khutbahs, Friday speeches and lectures, and people love stories. So I always take note of the stories and I use stories to make things easy and clear. And this is why I use so many of them, alhamdulillah, in the book.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I would like to get a copy. I would like to get it on my hands and I would like to see, but I think this could be something very interesting as a first step as a collaboration, inshallah. Brother Mustafa, I know we don't want to keep you along. I know you're busy. One of my last questions, is there a question I should have asked, maybe I didn't, is there something you want to share with the audience, with our listeners?
If you are an entrepreneur with a product or service for the Muslim market, let's get in touch. We are Halal.ad, a marketing agency and ad network for the ever-growing Muslim market. We can help you reach millions of Muslims to grow your business. Visit www.halal.ad for a 30-minute free consultation. Now back to the show.
The question...
It doesn't have to be a question, it's just a message you have. Maybe I haven't asked. You know, I try to ask your background story about the Quran. MashaAllah, it's been a beautiful journey. But sometimes I always keep this question, like, is there something you want to tell, you want to share with the audience?
Well, my goal in life, I'm focusing now on making the Quran and Islam accessible to the young generation, the youth and children. And I believe that we should teach Islam to our children, not the way that we were taught in our countries back home. Because to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be funny, like when I was young in the village in Egypt, I had two motivations to study and go to school. The shoe or the stick?
But you mean the carrot or the stick or the shoe or the stick? What do you mean?
The shoe and the stick.
Okay.
What does it mean? Which means that we didn't have the motivation that we should have, like here in Canada, in North America, in Europe, to love what you're reading, what you're studying. You don't have to be pushed by your parents to study and to do your homework. You want to do it out of love.
Absolutely.
And this is what we need to do with our kids, to present Islam and the Quran to our children in a way that they love, to help them learn, love, and live the message of the Quran, to be motivated. And this is why, mashallah, the Clear Quran for Kids is both informative and entertaining at the same time.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, that's why I think we should push it even forward. As I said, now it's in a book format. I think if you do it in a, like, audio and a story-based format, it goes even further, you know, even farther, inshallah. That's the thing, that's no question about it. I agree with you 100%. That's why even we're creating the platform, we don't just want to be like an educational platform, because we know from kids, if you just say education, after a while they get bored. Because I believe the best form of education is like an inspiration, like entertainment, you know? When you give them, when the kids think they are enjoying it, at the same time they're learning.
Alhamdulillah, I'm happy that many schools in the US and Canada, Islamic schools, are adopting the Clear Quran for Kids, mostly for elementary schools, so they can include it in the curriculum, inshallah. So this is good news, alhamdulillah. The old, boring, dry style doesn't fly anymore with our kids.
No, that's true.
We have to be creative.
We agree on that 100%.
Alhamdulillah.
I agree. May Allah reward you for your time. I learned quite a lot. I learned about your childhood, where we go from, where your mom inspired you to go. And also, you said hundreds of translations has been done in English, which I didn't know. And now we are discussing that the Clear Quran project and the kids. I'm so inspired. Inshallah, as I said, this is let's not the end. It's just the beginning of, inshallah, long-term friendship, and then see how we can make it work as well. And may Allah make this interview productive and inspirational for many listeners, and they will benefit from this.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair.
It's my pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and looking forward to seeing you around, because you're my neighbor. Maybe I usually would walk once a day. Maybe one of these days we should go and portrait it. We can walk on the beach as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Jazakallah khair. Thanks for having me.